Just want to take a few moments from our humble gratitude, Don and I, for being invited to come and preach the gospel of Christ here at the Malden congregation. We have been treated very well. We put us up in a very nice place, and the dinner was outstanding Sunday. And just all the good encouragement that you have shown and the love that you have shown toward Don and I, we will never, ever forget it. I just knew that as we live way down about 350, 360 miles in South Georgia, I told Donna, they probably say, Michael, who? But it sure is good to see all of you. There's so many here tonight that they're dear to our hearts. And there are a few tonight that I got to recognize. I just got to recognize a few folks that mean so much. The person that baptized me into Christ is here tonight. January the 15th, 1980, Brother Raymond, he baptized me into Christ, and that was the coldest water I ever been in my life. But we're truly thankful we went in and touched the blood of Christ. And Shirley, she used to be the only person who used to sit with me at the Fairview congregation. It's good to see all of you here. And I got to recognize I was a mama's boy. And my folks can tell you that I was. It's good to have my mom's brothers and sisters with us tonight. And Uncle David and all those folks were very encouragement to me as coming up and preaching the gospel. And so many here from other congregations, those here from Edgewood, bless your heart. You had to hear me a long time. And thank you for coming tonight. Tonight, we're just going to take the Bible, and we're going to look into God's Word. And I pray that this lesson will encourage you, will uplift you, motivate you in your Christian lives. Tonight, we're going to talk about a subject a lot of times we don't like to talk about. But tonight, we're going to talk about spiritually broken, a message to the faithful. Tonight, we're going to look at a subject that I didn't realize how many folks were in this condition. You may be here tonight and say, well, I never have been spiritual broken. I say amen. But there are a lot of people tonight in the Lord's church are spiritually broken. I'm talking about folks that you may see smile at you. I'm talking about folks that at service all the time, but many times we don't know the heart as God knows the heart. And tonight you could be spiritually broken. Tonight you may need the encouragement of your brothers and sisters in Christ to uplift you and to get you back on that road to heading home to be with Christ. Before we get into our main point of our lesson tonight, I want you to look with me in the book of James and listen to what James says in James chapter 1. We're going to begin down at verses 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. And James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. Now, there's a lot of different things that can come along in our lives. There are temptations, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's struggles, there's problems that you don't even think that could possibly enter into your life. But we know those things come, and James tells us you need to handle those things with patience. Need to handle those things with the Almighty God. And I'm truly thankful tonight that we have that gift of prayer, that we can pray unto the Heavenly Father, that we can pray unto Him to help us and guide us in this life. So tonight we're going to open up the Bible and just look at some scriptures that I pray that will encourage you, because there were many in the Bible we find that were broken. There are many in the Bible that needed guidance. There are many in the Bible need help. And I'm here to tell you tonight that without God, we would be most miserable people. But even though the things that we may go through in this life, we know that we have the Almighty God to lift us up, to lift us up in our hearts. Consider with me, if you would, in Psalms 34 and verses 3. Psalms 34 and verses 3. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You know, as we know that David is speaking here, and we know that David had at times a broken heart, and who did he pour out his supplications to? Who did he pour out his heart to? It was the Almighty God. You know, many times, even as you and I, as Christians in the Lord's church, sometimes we may fall short. That a lot of times we are like people of the world, that we forget the first person that you and I must turn to is God. The very first person that we need to pour out ourselves and our hearts and our mind and our soul to is the Heavenly Father. See, He knows everything. As we talked about the other night, looking at the heart, He knows every intent. He knows every motivation. He knows every desire, brethren. He knows everything about you and I, up close and personal. My friends, I pray that as a child of God, if you come to find out, a lot of times we may not know, but you come to find out there is a person and they are broken, they are downhearted, and they want to leave the Lord, they want to go away, it's our responsibility to encourage them, to love them, to hug them, and to show that we love them in the love of the Lord. And that's what we must do in our lives. Consider with me in the book of Psalms again, in verses 147 and verses 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. God will heal us. God will be with us when we have that broken spirit, when we have been broken down. And you know, folks that are broken down, so many times I see as a gospel preacher, I run across so many people that soon as something comes along, the least little thing comes along in their life, they want to turn and walk away from God. They want to stop believing, they want to stop trusting, they want to stop loving, and they blame God for the things that are happening in their life. The Bible tells us that, you know, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. You know, we have to know that there are struggles, that there's problems that arises, but how we handle those things will say a lot about our hearts and commune with God. I truly believe if God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John, you know, in the book of John 3 and verse 16, if He says that He loved us that much, He's not just going to have us here and turn and walk away. The only time I read in the Bible that He looked away is when His Son died on the cross. And He looked away on our behalf so we could have the avenue through salvation, through His Son, to have the forgiveness of our sins, as the Bible teaches very beautifully. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verses 1 and 2. Listen now, listen carefully. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captive and opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now listen. To proclaim the accepted year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, a lot of times, I don't know about you, brethren, but I'm here to tell you, as a gospel preacher, I mourn. You know, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, in that lesson, the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I mourn for those that have went back in sin. I mourn for those who do not concerned about their soul. I care about them, and it bothers me. It bothers me tremendously that they have walked away from the Almighty God. And it's telling us in this text in the book of Isaiah that God will comfort us. He will help us to give us that strength. Now, this next passage we're going to look at, you're probably very familiar with. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture that I love dearly, and I recall this verse. I think about this verse often in my own life to help me when, as I think about the things that come our way, and I think about the brethren, and I think about those of the Lord's church. Brethren, listen with your heart tonight in this passage. Listen with me in Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm here to tell you, I must confess unto you, this past summer, I was at the point in my life, and I talked with Donna, and I said, I don't know what I'm doing. It just seemed like everybody had my number, and everybody was coming after me, and, you know, and I was getting very discouraged, and I think about what the Lord says, renew that strength, renew that spirit, and I thought about all that God allowed his son to go through and what he did for all of us and the love that was shown. And I looked at my own self and Michael Lamb. I said, Michael Lamb, you ought to be ashamed. Look what Jesus did for you. What you are going through is nothing compared what the Almighty God done for all in this world. Renew our strength. Brethren, I'm here to tell you, it bothers me. You know, folks get mad at me sometimes, but it bothers me when people don't get excited about the Lord. We need to be excited. We should be the most excited people in this world to tell folks about Jesus Christ. And I've said this my whole years of preaching, and I said this in this meeting, but I got to say it again, brother. It really bothers me when we come into worship. You know, Bible tells us, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. John 4:24, but folks will come in as though they're going to be branded like a cow. You know, they come in with their lips stuck out that they've been weaned on vinegar and lemon juice. We should be the most excited people. We have God. We have Christ. We have the good news. We have the truth. And we need to share that truth with others. There's a lot of people in this world who down, they're broken, and they don't know. They just don't know the truth. And it's up to us to share with them the truth. I was in Walmart the other day, and I've been in the Lord's church a long time, but it's the first time I ever had somebody tell me this. I was talking to this one fellow trying to get him to come, and another fellow was listening. So I said, this is how we worship in the Lord's church. And I was telling him all that we did and what we stood for with salvation and about Christ and his church and the blood was shed and we can come in contact with that. But I was telling all about the teachings of the Church of Christ. And he was there listening. And he looks up at me with all my heart, brother, this way he said, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. He said, folks, don't do it. They just don't do it that way. I said, you know, there was the door. Well, come. Come on and see. You know, come and see. You know, but he never came. But I prayed for that person. You know, a lot of folks, you know, they don't want to open that door of their hearts and let God in. You know, there's a passage of Scripture that we're going to look at next that you know this. I mentioned this last night, and I got to mention it tonight. Because in Psalms 23, I reference this verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's one of the most sweetest, beautiful psalms that we read in the Bible. My friends, when you read Psalms 23, you know what it tells me? It tells me that the Lord is my shepherd. He's going to lead me. He's going to direct me. He's going to take care of me. And I don't have to worry about anything else because he's going to take care of everything. Is the Lord your shepherd? So many times we that are in the church, we that are faithful, we shut the door and turn away and think that we can do it. Listen to me. Think we can do it all by ourselves. And we can't do that. We can't do it. You know what happens when I do things by myself? I mess it up. I mess it all up. I have to have guidance. I have to have help. to keep me on the straight and narrow, and God will do that. Very sweet verses we're going to read now. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him. Did you hear me? Did you hear that? For he careth for you. Everything that comes your way, cast your care upon him. You know, brethren, if our relationship with the Almighty God, our hearts with the Almighty God, is in tune with him through being able to hear his word. We hear him speaking to us by his inspired word. But we are able, as a gift of God, to be able to talk with him and pour out our hearts to him that is in with heaven. And if it will be his will, he's going to answer that or tell us no. And we got to be willing to accept every which way that he answers us, yes or no. You know, there's a lot of people sometimes, and we may fit right in there sometimes, that we think we know how to do it better than God does. And we can't have that kind of attitude, can we? Now look with me here in the scripture again. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. The old King James that I'm reading from, and I love the new King James and where it translates here, uses the word careful, but it means anxious. It says, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. I'm guilty of this. I don't know if you're guilty of this, but I get anxious. Many times I get anxious. And, you know, and thank goodness, thankful so much that the Lord sent me a loving wife who puts up with me for 34 years that takes care of me. And she puts me back in line when I get anxious about things. You know, I jump the gun and, you know, I think, well, they need to do this. They need to do that. Well, we got to look and be patient. We got to be patient with one another. Look here. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Even those things that come our way that's troubling, even those things that come our way that many times is just hard to understand, we need to thank God. We can learn from those things that we suffer from. We can learn from those adversities in our life, and we can even learn from those that will criticize and be critics of our life. We can take these things to motivate us to make us better in this life. If we don't rise up every morning saying, I'm going to make this a better day, and I'm going to make this a better day to help somebody better their life, we need to think our hearts and go down deep and reevaluate what we're doing for the glory of God. I think every day that we live, we need to make someone's life better by the glory of God and by telling them about Jesus Christ. Now look with me. It says in the latter part of this verse, verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Who do we turn to for understanding? We turn to Jesus Christ. Isn't it a beautiful thing that God put all many things of what Jesus lived and all these things that we can learn from, how he was humble in his spirit, how he was kind, but yet he stood up for the truth. That all the way that he lived and how he answered those critics of his, how he loved his enemies, how he went to that cross, and hanging on that cross, he had us all in mind to give us eternal life if we obey and surrender to the gospel, the good news, the power of God's word. You know, I make this statement all the times, and I need to be careful with this, because I love all the Bible, and I say, yeah, I love this passage, I love that passage, and this next passage is one of those that I love dearly, because this helped me in my life. All of you tonight have heard this passage quoted from sermons to lessons to funeral services probably all your life. But I want you to look deep down with me tonight in this passage. Look with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 11. And yes, those verses is verse 28 through 30. Jesus is speaking here. And I want to take this and just, as we follow this, listen to the word of God. Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, "Come unto me." Did you hear that? Having problems, you're down, you're ready to walk away. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And this, a lot of times we overlook this passage, but what he's saying, and learn of me. Learn how Jesus lived. We had God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And verse 14 John 1 says, "And the flesh dwelt among us." It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he will teach us how to live. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Plainly teach you, do unto others as you have them to do unto you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And then you will be following Jesus Christ. And then I love this passage at the end. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, Paul plainly teaches us, bear ye one another's burdens. And yes, he says those burdens we got to bear of our own selves. You know, my wife was there many times when I suffered from kidney stones. She was there, but I had the burden that was a burden that I had. She held my hand while I cried like a baby, but she was there to comfort me. You know, but I had to bear that through my own infirmities. Brother, there's things that we have to bear, but I'm here to tell you that we need to be there and help one another and bear those folks' burdens and help them. There's nothing like when you are down and you're struggling and you see a smiling brother and sister in Christ there to help you and to be there for you. You know, they will take their time, they will take whatever's happening in their life and they'll lay it aside. And a true Christian brother or sister will come running for you when we act like Jesus Christ and put him first in our lives. Brethren, I'm here to tell you, in preaching the gospel, there's a lot of things that come our way. A lot of things touch us. We learn from things. This next story is a true story that I want to share with all of you, and I pray I got the permission to tell this. I asked the young lady, could I tell this in this meeting, in this lesson? She said, sure, you go right ahead. Her name is Kiki Poo. She was trying to have children, and she lost one, and she was devastated, and we got a call to go and be with them. And then as years went down to she was blessed to have a child, but you know, a little boy. She always wanted a little girl. So she was expecting of a little girl. So we got a call, and I knew she was going into labor, and they were supposed to call us when that happened. So they called us and said that she died at birth. Brethren, when you walk into, you may have never done this, and some of the preachers here tonight, you know where I'm coming from. But if you walk into a hospital room and you see those loving folks there and you're trying to comfort them, and all I can think about the word of God. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You just don't know what to say in times, many times, especially like this. And there's something that she said to my wife that stands in my heart this very night that just ringed in my head. And she says, do you want to go see her? The little baby that passed away. I really didn't want to go, brother. I really did. Because I knew, you know, I knew what had taken place. But we walked into that little room and that little baby was laying in that little blanket as sweet it could be. She was laying there, and Donna said, oh, how beautiful she is. You know, and I look and, you know, we ask questions. Why, Lord? You know, we just, many things we don't know why the reason, but God knows the reason for everything. We got to accept what comes along in our lives and take it and move in our lives with God. Oh, the young lady was crying tremendously, and she has never forgotten Michaela, right? Michaela. She was a very sweet little baby who is now with Jesus in heaven. It was a couple years later, she was expecting, and you know, they were really concerned about being in labor again and having children, and they wanted a little girl so bad. God blessed her. And this little girl that came and into this life, and I gotta show you. This little girl came running up to me this summer, and she wanted me to take her picture. And when I look at that little face, I think about Michaela, and the mothers never forgot the ones that she lost. You never forget, though. They're going to be with God. But to see this little baby's face, God knows everything. God knows the reason everything. God blesses, and we got to take when he says no, and when he takes and says yes. So tonight, you may be here struggling. You may be here struggling. You may not be here struggling. You may be moving forward to get home. We got to keep moving forward. You know, as a Christian, we can't just sit and stand still. We got to keep moving forward. So tonight, I want you to think about this passage here. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." And I was guilty of this. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me of this. Because I asked, Lord, you know, we're trying to do good. We're trying to help these folks. And they seem like they just don't care. They treated Jesus the same way, didn't they? But what did he do? He loved them anyway. Brethren, somebody may not like you. They may not like the way you have your hair combed. They may not like the way the tie that you got on. But I'm here to tell you, love them anyway. Love those enemies. Love those that do not love God. Care for them. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. One of the words that I just don't want to hear, and I'm guilty of stating this many times in my life as a gospel preacher. Preachers, you're going to know what I'm talking about. There have been times when I used the word and I said, Lord, please forgive me of that. And that word was, just give up. You ever felt like just giving up? That's what the devil wants us to do. Give up. Walk away. Throw your hands up. That's the worst thing we could ever do, is to give up. It says, if we faint not, do not give up. There's been many times where I said, man, I just don't know if I can make it anymore. Folks, you love folks, you care about folks, and then they just walk away. They turn away and they don't care. They don't see what God has blessed them with. They don't see what God has given them. They don't see the significance of the glory of God and what we can have in the almighty eternity to live in eternity with God, Christ, and all those who have lived faithful to the end. Like I said, brethren, we got to have those in our lives to help us, to tell us when we're leaning and to straighten us up. And I've told you, I was blessed with a wife to do that. You know what she tells this preacher many times? She says, this is true. Suck it up, buttercup. We got to learn to handle those things that come in our life, not by ourselves, but with the glory of God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. We've heard that many times, haven't we? But it means what it says. Draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. You remember the lady and the husband? You know, they were driving down the road and they'd been married a long time. And looked over and the wife was sitting all the way to the door. And the husband was right there. And the wife said, "How do we get like this?" And the husband says, "I wasn't the one that moved." Farther away we get from God, the more the devil will intervene in our lives. He wants us to be miserable people. He wants to see that we are miserable. He wants to know that we don't have joy. He wants us to not live as a child of God. I can't help but read in the Bible many, many times. It talks about, last night we talked about just one sinner repent. If it says there is joy in heaven over one that repenteth. You don't think God cares? Even the angels rejoice when that person comes back in repentance. To all of you that's working hard, to all of you that's working in your congregations, to all of you that's working diligently for the Lord, this verse is for you. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," he's talking to you and I in the body of Christ, "be ye steadfast." Hang in there. Don't you give up. "Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know that your labor," listen, "know your labor, what you are doing is not in vain. The Lord knows what you're going through. He knows if somebody shuts the door in your face when you tell them about Christ. He knows when somebody is ugly and unkind to you. He knows that. "Know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Keep moving forward. Keep living for Jesus Christ. Now look, the one that penned this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth. Now when he's writing this, and when he wrote, especially when he wrote the book of Philippians, he wasn't at the Comfort Inn. He wasn't at the Holiday Inn. He was in prison. In the innermost part of the prison, where the worst criminals was kept. He was in shackles. He'd been beaten. And yet we find a scene in the Bible that says that he was singing around midnight, and he was excited because Jesus was his Savior. Many times, brethren, we need to be ashamed of ourselves. We want to blame God. We want to blame everybody else. To when it boils down that we need to blame ourselves. It's all on us. We the ones got to give an account of ourselves to the glory of God. Brethren, I pray that you take this lesson to heart. It's just been a blessing. It's just been a blessing to be here with you. It's been over 10 years since I preached in this specific area. Love these folks in Greenville and the Malden area, Simpsonville area so much, all of you guys. All in South Carolina has always been my home, always will. We are in Georgia. I don't know if we ever come out of Georgia because we got a son that's getting married. And you know what happens when grandbabies come, right? Grandma's not going to go far. But just remember, you pray for us. Because you remember what that song says? The devil went down to Georgia. So we fighting Satan down there just like you are here. No, we may not be with you. We may not be in this area anymore, but please don't forget us. We hadn't forgotten you. But one day we all going to be together when we found faithful. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear, don't you? "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Don't worry about all those things. Think about God is going to take care of you. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your body and living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." We have to sacrifice our life for the cause of Christ. "And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Transform ourselves in living for the precious Son of God. When we all stand on the day of judgment, we may just think that what we went through in this life was tough. But either we're going to be rejoicing, or we going to be in misery. A lot of people don't want to talk about hell anymore. Brother, I'm here to tell you, the righteous is going to be in heaven, but those who have not be found in Jesus Christ and live for Him is going to be lost. I pray that you wouldn't be in that condition tonight, be found in that condition on the day of judgment. To know we can have joy, we can have jubilation, we can have the love of God in our hearts every day. As we bring this meeting, this gospel meeting, the revival of our hearts to a conclusion, may you know one thing. May you know one thing. We're not in this by ourselves. No matter how many knocks, no matter how many bruises we may receive in this life, it's nothing, nothing in this life worth losing your soul. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Think about that tonight. What is in this life worth? Tonight, if you need to come back home, we pray you come back home. Tonight, we pray that we motivate you to ever live as strong as you can for the glory of God. Say something good. Say something kind. Show people that you love them where they show it back or not. Spiritually broken, you can be fixed. That brokenness can be fixed. Only one way. It can be fixed. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to show it to you. That's the only way we can ever be fixed. Love the Lord, brethren. Love the brethren. You don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow or not. You don't know if you're going to cross over into eternity. But if I don't see all of you anymore on this side of eternity, know I'll be waiting on you in that last day. And all those have gone and passed, and there's so many we could mention tonight that, you know, I miss my mom, my dad, my sister, and all those that passed. I miss them dearly, but we're going to reunite. All those that passed, you're going to get to reunite with them on the last day. And I pray as we reunite together in the glorious place that's ever been created. Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I've gone to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back for you. Tonight, if you're here, you need to repent and be baptized. Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's what Jesus said. Paul said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What are you waiting for? Don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. If Jesus comes back tonight, know you have a friend in this gospel preacher. And I want to say one thing. I appreciate the preacher in this congregation, Dennis. Grown to love him very much. Malden folks, learn that you have a great preacher there. Work with him. Back him. Stand up with him. For the truth. Appreciate so much Joel who helped me get all of these PowerPoint lessons. Even when I get excited and wouldn't move the slides, he did it for me. I get excited, Brendan, because I'm starting to get old. And you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. And I want people to know that I love them in the love of the Lord and they can have Christ. Don't let nobody take that away from you. You can have Christ. Even though we way down in South Georgia, know we love you here in South Carolina. God bless you. We appreciate you. Let's stand. Let us sing.